to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. I want to preach tonight or talk to you a few minutes on something that's really been dealing my heart in my own life. In my own life. I tell you, it's one thing to preach. Here we got it. Preach a lot of things, but I tell you, I've never seen an hour when we are in desperate need of practical, everyday truth. I mean, God's people are in need of help, of walking with God and living for the Lord and finishing the race. I mean, you enter into the race of faith when you get saved, but Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. Amen. And his dying words, and it was that he stated that. I finished my course. I want to finish. I don't want to fail. I don't want to fall. I want to finish. And I'm seeing a lot falling in this hour. I'm seeing a lot falling from their steadfastness, falling from their spirituality, falling from their spiritual status, spiritual level, and just, you know, going astray. And I want to deal with that. Just some thoughts the Lord just really been putting in my heart last few days. Really about me. I told him, I said, Lord, I need a word for me. I need a word for me. And I know you think that, preacher, if you've been saved 32 years and preached thousands upon thousands of times, that you would reach a status to where you wouldn't have any problems. But that's not the case. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will never quit trying. And I believe this, that as long as you're in the flesh, you have the potential of falling. Right. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years or longer. If you're still in the flesh, that is, you've not went to heaven yet. If you're still in this world, you have the potential of falling. Amen. And you need to really stay in contact with your opinion about that. You really need to stay in contact with your attitude about falling. Right. Is it something that you would mind? Is it something that you would hate? You're in very, very much danger if you start thinking of falling lightly. You know, it's not a real bad deal in if you're not careful, you're definitely within inches. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll start in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, showing a distinction, showing a difference, they're running a physical race, we're running a spiritual race. They're running a race to where only one can win. We're running a race where all of us can win. You can't beat a deal like that. They run to receive a corruptible crown. And if you've ever heard that preached on, studied, all it was some pine limbs woven into a crown that would soon fade away, and they'd have to throw it in the garbage. But we're running that we might receive an incorruptible crown, permanent. Paul went on to say in verse number 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. That's not talking about shadow boxing. That's talking about missing. Paul is saying, I desire to land some blows to my flesh to keep it into subjection. And he's saying, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. He said, I want to hit. And you can tell what shape you're in spiritually by, do you really want to land some disciplined blows to your flesh? Or do you want to miss? Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's read on a few verses into the 10th chapter, if we could. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were, know this word, overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Notice verse 11 and 12. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And Paul, no doubt, speaking from his very heart, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your precious word. I pray that you'll take control of our mind and of our heart tonight. Help us to say nothing more, nothing less than, God, that which would honor and please you. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, keep your Bibles open. I want to preach tonight a few minutes on the fear of falling. The fear of falling. I spoke just a couple of days ago to a man of God or a preacher that I still am a friend with, but he is no longer in the ministry. His wife, in fact, was the culprit or whatever. She came in one day and she said, I'm tired of being a preacher's wife and I'm not interested in being a missionary's wife and I'm done. Of course, That put the nails in his coffin, and he told me, he said, I can't even hardly read my Bible. And I'm telling you, I tried to feel his hurt. I tried to feel where he's at. I want to learn from it. I don't want to cast judgment. I don't want to put my foot on his head, and I don't want to kick him down. I want to be sympathetic, amen. But I want to feel what he's trying to anyway, of what he's feeling without going through it. And he said, "Preacher, I can't even hardly read my Bible." He said, "Every time I open it up," he said, "all of those many messages that I've preached comes flooding back into my mind." And he said, "The Word of God comes alive to me." And he said, "I see message after message that needs to be preached." And he said, "It's tormenting me." She desired, after ruining and wrecking his life and hers as well, she tried to call him and want to get back with him after she had done ruin her life. And my goodness, it's very critical that you pick the right mate. It's very critical that you serve God and want to pick the right mate. And amen. Because there may be a time you want to serve God and you have a mate that don't, you've got trouble. Amen. I mean, you've got heartache and you've got hardship to want to be with somebody that want to serve God and you don't, or they don't. Either way, it's going to be trouble. Amen. So the best thing to do is get saved and love God and fall in love with Jesus and serve the Lord. Live a sanctified, serving, separated life, selfless life. And trust God to give you the mate that you need and the mate that you desire to have. And you ought to have a desire. God, I want a mate that I can serve God with. You ought to be praying about that, you young people that's not married yet. You ought to be praying about that. God, I'm not interested in somebody that's got money. I'm interested in somebody that's got some spirituality about them and that knows God and loves God. Amen. Amen, that's right. But anyway, I've been disturbed about that ever since I talked with him about this. And the fear of falling has gripped my heart. Have no confidence. The Bible said, have no confidence in the flesh. And this needs to be sounded and resounded throughout the message. The only hope of falling must come through the flesh. Okay? You need to keep your eye on the flesh, your flesh. Your fall will not come through my flesh. My fall will not come through your flesh. It is my body, my flesh, that a fall potentially can come through. And the thought that got on my mind that started kicking all this into gear was I was thinking about sometimes we think that the fall comes through the weakness of the flesh. But that's not true. A fall comes through the strength of the flesh. A fall comes through an area in your life that your flesh has got control of in your life. It's not a weakness of the flesh. Actually, the strength of the flesh is the weakness of the flesh. That makes sense. The area of your flesh that you're strong in, that's the area you better watch. That's the area you better keep your eye on. Because if you're saved, you are a two-natured person. You have a flesh nature and you have a spirit nature. And they're always opposite. So if the flesh is strong, then the spirit is weak. Amen? If the spirit is strong, then that renders the flesh weak and not able to carry out its will and wishes. Oh yeah, I know Paul... I had a great fear of falling. There's no doubt about it. I mean, probably the greatest Christian we know of was the Apostle Paul. No doubt. Wrote the majority of our New Testament. But he always possessed the fear of falling. I wrote this down today. He didn't fear suffering. I mean, many times, read the book of Acts. Read some of the epistles of Paul where it records his suffering, his imprisonments, his beatings, snake bites, shipwrecks, and all of those things. He didn't fear those things. They even told him on one occasion in the book of Acts that bonds and afflictions are going to bind you. He said, none of these things move me. He did not fear suffering, but he feared straying. He feared stopping. Amen. Oh, may that get a hold of our hearts today. We've all sung this song. We've all sung this song. And I've got just a couple of verses here. Come thy fount of every blessing. Come thy fount of every blessing, wrote many years ago. And this is just a couple of the verses. It has several. Here's a couple of the verses. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, interposed his precious blood, how his kindness yet pursues me. Mortal tongue can never tell, clothed in flesh till death shall loose me. I cannot proclaim it well. Listen to this verse. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Did you get that? The writer said, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Have you ever been there as a Christian? Have you ever been there to the place that you see and you're looking at your own spiritual life and you feel that prone to wander? Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Have you ever prayed about yourself and said, Lord, I'm afraid of where I'm going. I'm afraid of how I'm feeling. I'm afraid of the thoughts I'm thinking. I'm afraid of the drift I feel in my soul. I'm afraid of the coldness that's creeping in. I'm fearful of those things. Do you feel that? Lord, help us. I'll tell you, I'm not preaching to people that's made out of gold here tonight. I'm preaching to folks just like myself. You're made of flesh. And your flesh, if it gets an inch, if you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. And it will pull your heart away from God. Amen. Listen, if you feel that prone to wander, that prone to leave the God that you love, if you feel that, you better not overlook that. You better pray about that. You better get your flesh dealt with by the Spirit of God, or it's going to take you where you don't want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you ever want to pay. We talk about, the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season, recorded in Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter. Did you get that? The pleasures of sin, but it's only for a season. Brother Jeter, I read that. I was thinking on that, meditating on that the other day, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, there are no pleasures in the reaping of sin. There's some pleasure on the sowing end, but there's no pleasure on the reaping end. That's a powerful thought right there. But Paul knew that he could fall, and he knew that his flesh was his worst enemy. That's one thing we need to understand tonight is that if we fall, it's got to come through the flesh. It's got to come through the flesh. And we need to understand tonight that our flesh is our worst enemy. What makes it so? What makes our flesh our worst enemy? What do you think? One, because it is wicked. Two, this is probably what makes it our worst enemy. It's ever present. It's not people. It's not situations. I can walk off and leave that. You know, you can hang a phone up, or you can get disconnected from some enemies. But when it's your flesh, you go to bed with that, and you get up with it, and you clothe it, and you bathe it, and you go live throughout every day with your flesh. And your flesh is corrupt, and your flesh is wicked, and your flesh is against God. Paul knew that he could fall. I believe it's very clear in verse 27 of chapter 9, but I keep under my body, bringing it in subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen? Well, I thought about that. Paul feared the flesh. Paul in Romans chapter number 7 and verse 18, here's what Paul said. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. Right. Romans 8 and verse number 8, Paul penned down the word, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. Even Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the flesh profiteth nothing. Out of the 66 books of your Bible, show me one positive thing that God ever said about the flesh. When I talk about the flesh, I'm talking about your human nature, that fallen, sinful, Adamic nature. If you fall tonight, and all of us in here have that potential. I've preached 32 years, but that is no guarantee. Paul had been ministering for years. He said so by his own testimony in verse 29, lest that by any means when I have preached to others. Paul is looking back at a history of preaching and he still sensed the potential of falling. Being a disapproved runner. My goodness. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. That does what? Which war against the soul. I want to show you this verse of scripture right here. Turn over just a few pages. Hold your place there. We'll be back in a minute. But look in Colossians chapter 3. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. Are you there? Say amen. Mortify, Paul said, mortify therefore your members. Talking about your body, your flesh. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice he said mortify. That word mortify means to put to death. We get our word mortician from that. Put to death. Put it in a grave. But you know what? Instead of mortify, you know what we think the answer is? Modify. We think the answer is modify. Just put a few restraints there. Bring about some reformation. Start doing better. But no, Paul said the only way to deal with the flesh is mortify it. Put it in the ground. Put it in the ground. Amen. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13 says. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. Did you get that? For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Did you know that it's very plain right there how you do that mortification? If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Boy, the devil won't tell you that. The devil won't tell you that. He'll tell you to live it up. Do whatever. And as long as you want. And with whomever. And wherever. Don't think about the consequences. Don't think about the outcome. Don't think about those seeds that you're sowing will one day come up. Not only in your life, but in the life of your children. Wouldn't that be sad for you to sow the wild seeds and the wicked seeds and then one day see you reap in your children? You say, I don't believe that. Well, it's so. It's so, amen. For the flesh to win in the war, the spirit, your spiritual life must be weak. It's the only way the flesh can win. Turn, if you will. I wasn't even planning to use this verse. It just came to my mind. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That word lusteth there means warreth. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these, look at this, are contrary one to the other. Notice this statement. So that you cannot do the things, look at this, that you would. It didn't say that you would do, that you cannot do the things that you could, but it's showing here what you will do if the flesh is not restrained by the Spirit of God. Oh, please, please get a hold of this. It's a reminder, I know, for most. It's a refresher for most of us in here, but we need it tonight. I need it. And that is, friend, your flesh. Listen, your spiritual life, your relationship to the Holy Spirit is your only restraint to the flesh. And if your relationship to the Holy Spirit is weak, if you've allowed your spiritual life to drift, amen, then it offers no restraint to the flesh. And therefore the flesh is going to be strong and your spirit is weak. And that's where your fall comes. That's where your fall comes through. Amen. In fact, if you want to know just the real potential of your flesh, while we're there, let's read it. Galatians 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is the list of things that if you allow your flesh to have its way, if you allow your flesh to be in the driver's seat, if you allow your flesh to be in control, here's some of the things that you find yourself guilty of at one time or another if you don't watch it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Meaning, if you want to add to that list, that same tone, just keep adding it, and such like, and the list would go on and on and on. Are you listening to the preacher? And a lot of those sins listed in verse 19 and 20 and 21, a lot of those sins are sexual sins. And I not only believe this, I know several preachers that believe this, that the downfall of the fundamental church of our day is going to be through sexual immorality. There's no doubt about it. It's being pumped and pushed and published and promoted by the music of our world, the movies of our world, the magazines of our world. You can't even go through the checkout line at Walmart without blinders on. To the world, skin is in, but never will it be with God. Never will it be with God. This world promotes nakedness and immodesty and immorality and fornication and adultery and looseness, and think nothing of saving yourself for whoever your husband or whoever your wife will be. Amen. I know you won't hear that preached against much in most churches, but I'm going to preach it.
I'm going to preach it
in the right attitude. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's still sin. It's still sin. Amen. Amen. You need to keep yourself pure and holy. You need to keep yourself for your husband one day that you will have. You need to keep yourself for the wife that one day that you will have. Amen. That's right. Yeah. And I've made the statement here before that it might be that some boy, and you know, everybody all down in the Carolinas, they don't know much about Preacher Rackley. All they know is, oh, that's the church, that's the preacher up there in Tennessee that's got all them girls. And I'll tell them real quick, yeah, and all of them girls are heavily guarded. That's right, amen. We want to put the fear of God in that crowd. Amen. But I don't have to go on that. But listen, the fear of falling is what I'm attempting to deal with tonight, because I am alarmed at how many people that I've seen in 20 years of preaching right here in this pulpit, how many people I've seen come and go, how many people I've seen look to be going in a spiritual direction and then all of a sudden, they're gone. They fail. They're in sin. Were they saved or not? I don't know. If there's no chastisement, I can safely say they're not, according to the Word of God, the 12th chapter of Hebrews. But let me deal with some things quickly and then these are just a compiling of thoughts that the Lord has been dealing with me about this subject of the fear of falling. You can tell that your flesh is getting strong, but when you look at its desires compared to spiritual desires. You can tell that your flesh is getting strong when you look at the deeds of the flesh. Not just the desires of the flesh, but the deeds of the flesh. Things that you're involved in, things that you're doing, the direction that you're pursuing. And that's, of course, a third thought is you can tell your flesh is strong or getting stronger by the direction you're going in. Is it spiritual or is it fleshly? Amen? When you look at the defilements of the flesh, look at what, and listen, sin doesn't come into your life through the Spirit. Sin comes into your life through the flesh. Amen? So look at that. Amen. Look at the decline that's come about in your life by the flesh. The Spirit of God is not meaning for His children to be up and down and on and off and cold and hot. When there's decline in your life spiritually, that's coming about through the flesh. You're living after the flesh. You're listening to the flesh. You're living for the flesh. You're being led by the flesh. Amen. We're all in danger tonight. Not the Muslims, not the Middle East, not even the politicians. We're in danger tonight because of our flesh. Our flesh is weak and wicked and ungodly and hates God and will fight you all the way to the graveyard. Yeah. Let me give you this. I just wrote these things down. You're in danger of falling when you're overwhelmed. When you're overwhelmed. When it seems like it's coming in like a flood. When it seems like that there's no relief. When it seems like that every way you turn, there's burdens and battles and pressures and difficulties. And it seems to be relentless. It seems to never quit. It seems to never give up. And I promise you the devil, when he sees you squirming, he won't quit. When he sees you getting weak, he won't back off. No, he'll turn the heat up in your life. Amen. I really, Brother Clipper, I can't help but believe tonight that God is sending us a warning right here. Ain't no doubt. Listen, when you're overwhelmed, you're in danger of falling. Number two, when you're overconfident, you're in danger of falling. I believe that's referred to in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. Oh, not me, preacher. No, you're preaching on falling. Yeah, thank God they're getting it, but not me, preacher. No, you're the very one I'm preaching to. According to that verse, to him that thinketh he standeth, think he's doing okay, think he's all right. You're the one, the Bible said, take heed lest you fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a holy spirit before a fall. When you're overwhelmed, when you're overconfident, when you're oppressed, when you're opposed. And I thought about this one today. You're in danger of falling when you're just one. God never intended for you to be saved and to serve God by yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9, two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. I believe you're in danger of falling when you're just one, when you're living your own life apart from the help of God's people. Amen. Because the Bible said when you fall, if there's two of you and you're in fellowship with God's people, there when you fall, there'll be somebody there to help you up. There'll be somebody there to say, here, let me give you a hand and help you out of that ditch. And we've all been there. We've all been picked up and we've all done some picking up. Amen. Well, I hope you're writing these things, just some scattered, simple truths down that God has spoke to my heart about. But let me give you this, the gist of the message is this. Paul knew that he could fall in our text, 1 Corinthians 9. Number one, when you get lazy with personal discipline. I believe that's it right there. When you get lazy with personal discipline, verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. We read in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is one of those listed is what? Temperance, which means self-control. Self is either in control or self is under control. If self is not under control of the Spirit, it's probably in control and running your life. And if self is running your life, then self will ruin your life. When you get lazy with personal conviction or personal discipline, just like a runner, just like an athlete who is running, they have to train and they're disciplined. Listen, there's certain things that they won't eat. There's certain things that they won't eat because it'll hinder them. There's certain habits that they refrain from because it will hinder them. They know that they're in danger of falling when they start getting lazy concerning discipline of the flesh and of self. When you start cutting corners. When you start to let up in some areas of your life. When you start getting lazy with your Bible reading. Come on now. When you start getting lazy with your praying. Did you know that you can go weeks without reading your Bible and nobody will ever know it? The discipline issues and the discipline areas of an athlete, they could go, if they weren't devoted to running and winning and doing their best, if they weren't devoted to that, they could cut some corners and nobody would ever know. I wonder how many of our church has gotten lazy about your discipline areas. You're starting to cut corners. You're starting to get loose in some areas. You're starting to give in to some areas. You're starting to do things you know is going to hinder you, and you're running for Jesus, running the race that is set before you. Amen. I didn't expect there to be much shouting. This is not shouting material. This is to help us get to where we can rejoice and shout and serve the Lord. We get lazy in our personal discipline. And I don't want to do that. I wonder how many, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many in RBT you've gotten real slack with your Bible. And if you get slack with your Bible, you'll get slack with your beliefs. And if you get slack with your Bible and you slack with your beliefs, it won't be long till you'll be slack with your behavior. There's a time, Brother Silas, that you can keep it a secret if you're not praying, but you won't keep it a continual secret. There's a time and a space that you can keep it a secret that you're not reading the Bible and that you're not dealing with spiritual issues privately and personally, but you won't keep it a secret. There'll be a day it'll break out on you. Those runners, they could keep it a secret if they cut corners in some areas of diet or discipline in areas. But you know when it would show up? Race day. Everybody in the stands knew then, you've not been what you need to be. So write that one down. And I believe this, friend, with all of my heart. And God, help it to get real to us. I believe we're defeated when we're not disciplined. I believe that's where defeat comes in, is when we're not disciplined. All right, listen to this. Number two, write this down. I'll be done here in a minute. Number two, I'm talking about this simple truth right here. The Lord just spoke to me. I didn't get them out of a book. Got them out of the book. When we're lazy with our personal discipline. Number two, we're in danger of falling when we lose sight of others. Look what Paul said. In verse number 27, but I keep under my body. Remember me preaching the other night on your body? Your body's important in the spiritual realm. Your body's very important. He said, I keep under my body doing what? Bringing it into subjection. Lest, here it is, here comes my second point. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others. You know, when I'm in danger of falling, it's not only when I've gotten lazy with personal discipline. And listen, I've been saved 32 years, Brother Brooks. Been preaching 32 years. And my flesh still hates to pray. You wouldn't think that. You'd thought it would have lost by now. You'd have thought Brother Jackie had gave up by now and say, well, you're going to pray, pray on. No, it fights it every time. When you go to pray, your mind is filled with thoughts of what you need to do. And a lot of times wild and wicked and ungodly thoughts come flying through your brain. And when you're trying to pray, where'd that come from? Your wicked, ungodly flesh is where it came from. Amen. Lord, help us. But when we lose sight of others, Paul said, you know what? After I preached to others. A pastor last year. Of course, it's not anything secret. It's all over the news. It's all over YouTube. It's all over everything. Pastored one of the largest churches, Baptist churches in America. One of the most thriving ministries in America. Known worldwide, the preacher fell into sin last year. Are you listening? No doubt he probably thought, won't happen to me. I'm handling this. I've got this undercover. I've got all the bases covered. I've got everything taken care of. Friend, don't forget it. The Bible still says, be sure your sins will find you out. And I'm not, listen, amen. And that pastor had his cell phone laying on the pulpit after the service, and he was socializing and fellowshipping and shaking hands and whatnot. And a deacon just happened to walk by the pulpit as his cell phone lit up with a pornographic picture from a young girl inside the church. And he's in prison as I speak because she was underage. Are you listening? And you know what? As I read that and I watched some of the research on that, and I don't rejoice over that fall. You hear me? I don't rejoice over that. Great damage was done to the cause of Christ through that. And any time a person falls, Brother Tim, I promise you, it'll hurt the cause of Christ. whether it's you or whether it's me or whether it's anybody. It's others, some others. Others are going to be hurt by it. And I thought, here's a man that is known literally around the world. I mean, you can go a lot of places and they don't know who I am, but you probably couldn't go too many places that did not know who this man was. And I thought, Brother Chuck, I tried to put myself in that man's shoes because I want to learn. I want to feel the guilt. I want to feel the regret that he probably feels and wish I hadn't have and I shouldn't have and all of that. I want to feel that. I want to learn from that. Are you listening? And I thought, where on planet Earth could that man go? Where could he move to? Where could he live? But what he wouldn't see people everywhere that knew him. And whether they knew him or not, if he caught them looking at him, probably thought, wonder what they're thinking. Can you imagine living like that? A friend of mine, my wife knows very well about this situation. Years ago, a preacher that has preached for me and I've preached with him. I've rode with him to meetings when he'd preach and come to find out that he'd fell into sin. I wept all that when I first heard it, I cried all night long. That so devastated me. Are you listening to the preacher? I believe God's trying to help us tonight to be shaken to reality of how easy it would be for anybody in this building tonight or all of us to be out of the will of God in 24 hours. But if we just don't forget it, friend, falling comes through the flesh. You've got to be given in to the flesh. You've got to give attention to the flesh. You've got to give over to the law of the flesh to have some influence in your life and quit feeding the Spirit, quit listening to the Spirit, quit being led by the Spirit. And when the spiritual life goes down in strength, the flesh life goes up in strength, and that equals the fall. When I heard that man fail, the last one I was telling you about, when I heard he fell and I wept, I'm telling you, it broke my heart. It broke my heart heavy. But what I tried to do, Brother Carroll, I tried to put myself in his shoes of wondering what he's feeling right now. The shame. The shame and the guilt. I said, Paul was in danger of falling when you get lazy with your personal discipline. You're in danger of falling when you forget others, when you lose sight of others. Can you imagine? Let's just take me for an example, and I've mentioned this before. Can you imagine me facing you if I fail? I couldn't stand it. I couldn't even live here. I'd move. But where in the world would I go? I'm just telling you, friend, there's shame that comes with sin. There's shame and hurts and heartache and devastation that comes with sin. Now you listen to me now. I'm preaching. I know I'm on target. I need what I'm preaching tonight as much as anybody. When sin comes in the picture of your life, you become selfish. Sinfulness and selfishness always goes together. When you're interested in sin and pleasing the flesh, you forget about how you're going to hurt your mama and how you're going to hurt your daddy and your husband and your wife and your children or your parents. You forget about how you're going to hurt your preacher and how you're going to hurt your church and ultimately how you're going to hurt Christ. You forget about those things. Because all you think about is
getting what I want and doing what I want and having what I want and living it up and the pleasures that comes with sin. That's all you think about. You don't think about the tears that's going to roll down your family's face. You don't think about the heartache and the hurt. You don't think about that. Sinfulness and selfishness goes together. Boy, somebody better hear that. All you think about is self. I did. Before I got saved, I didn't think about the hurts that I was causing my mama and daddy. I didn't think about those nights that they laid awake wondering where I am. What am I doing? Will I be coming home tonight? I didn't think about them. All I thought about was me doing what I wanted, getting what I wanted, and going where I wanted. Having what I want. But I want to tell you right here and now, that is not the attitude of a saved person. A person that lives for self at the expense of hurting other people is a lost person. But you hear me, lost or not, you sow seeds to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. What you sow will come up and you will regret it. If you sow to the flesh, listen now, oh, but I'll get saved, preacher, and all of that will be washed away. Show me that in the Bible, friend, where forgiveness does away with sowing and the law of sowing and reaping. It's not in there. That's a law, friend, that's irrevocable. It's not movable. What you sow, you'll reap. Well, listen. So not only did you get lazy, you're a danger falling if you get lazy with personal discipline and you lose sight of other people. After I've preached to others. And then number three, you're in danger of becoming a castaway or falling when you, for lack of a better term, when you lose sight of the reward. That's what castaway means. As a runner, you're no longer qualified for a reward. You're disqualified. You're disqualified. Amen. I'm not running for a heavenly residence. I'm going to heaven not because of my running. I'm going to heaven because I've been saved. I'm running not for a heavenly residence. I'm running for a heavenly reward. Or heavenly rewards, crowns, that can be lost according to the Word of God. There are going to be people at the judgment seat of Christ that, as the Bible says, going to be saved yet so as by fire. Let me deal with these others real quick and I'll be done. Number four, when we don't learn from the fall of others, we're in danger of falling. Chapter number 10, I've already read it, I'm not going to reread it. But chapter number 10, it talks about others that had failed and that you and I should learn from that. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Verse number 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. Are you listening? When we do not learn from the fall of others, as I've already tried to preach, put myself there, wondering how they feel, what guilt they must feel, the shame they must feel, because, friend, if I fail, same thing will be on me. I want to go ahead and get a taste of it before a fall. Amen. Learn from it. Learn from the fall of other people. Don't rejoice about it. Learn from it. Because whatever would cause one to fall will cause you to fall. Amen. That's right. You can write these down if you're taking notes. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. Here's your five things right here in these verses. Write them down. You study them out for yourself. The first thing mentioned is their fall. Their fall came when there was division. Now, let me give them to you real quick now. Look at what I'm talking about. I'd never seen this before.
But in verse number 1, verse 2, 3, and 4, you find the word all mentioned in every verse. In fact, it's mentioned twice in verse 1. Talked about all of our fathers run to the cloud, all passed through the sea, all baptized in Moses in cloud in the sea, and did all eat the spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. All. But then look at changes in verse 5. But with many. See, we go from all, Brother Craddock, now to many. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. You know where the fall came? It's when there was division. When there was a group of people that split away from the spiritual leadership and the spiritual direction of the crowd. And they pulled away from that congregation, that assembly, and they had their own little sinful and selfish desires that they were catering to. But many of them, God was not well pleased. And look, write these down. Fall comes when there's when we don't learn from the fall of others, when you get divided, when you pull yourself away from the church, when you pull yourself away from church and you don't want to go here preaching and you don't want to go to Sunday school and you want to lay out on Wednesday night, I promise you, friend, you're already headed in a falling direction. Amen. I mean, listen, folk, I've preached my heart out, but that's no guarantee you're not going to fall if you don't listen. I'm amazed, and I've been amazed all my Christian life how people's got, they've got energy to do everything else except go to church. They got energy, they can do this and go here and do that and all of that, but when it comes church time unto God, they can't hardly breathe. Something's wrong with that. I'm talking about division. This crowd failed because they pulled away from that main spiritual nucleus that was in leadership there. Amen. Number 2, write it down quickly. Verse number 6, their fall not only came through division, their fall came through desires. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust, there it is, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So desires, the word lust means cravings or desires. Desire for evil things, desire for the forbidden things. You can tell if you're about to fall, friend. If you're about to be overcome with sin, is that you begin to desire things that you know good and well is not right. Amen. I mean, listen, there is an element of stupidity that goes with sin. You know that's right. Sinners will keep doing what they know that's killing them. There's an element of stupidity. We've seen people go back to sin and do this very thing that's wrecked and ruined and destroyed their life. But it ain't all stupid. A lot of people sins with knowledge. They know what they're doing. You know it is not right. You've heard it preached. You heard people say, give testimony that it's wrong, and you do it anyway. You're begging for a hurt. And you're headed for a fall. You saw a preacher, I can handle it. You'll be the first one. What are you going to think about all them millions of people that's already passed through this planet from Adam to the present day that has never won, nobody's ever won dealing with sin. Nobody. Everybody that fools with sin gets burnt. Everybody that fools with sin falls. Everybody winds up a loser when you're fooling with sin and playing with fire. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? You play with fire, you're going to get burnt, friend. God help us. Mercy, Lord. There's no doubt God's sending a warning. They fell when there were division, when there was desires. Thirdly, when there was devotion. Look at verse number 7. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down and eat and drank and rose up to play. That was making reference to Exodus 32, the golden calf. You fall when your devotion, you know what idolatry is, don't you? When something else has stolen your affection that justly belongs to God, now it's being given to things, it's being given to people. Amen. Idolatry. Idolatry. Devotion. Where's your devotion at? If you're not devoted to the Lord, you're going to fall. Your devotion to the Lord has got to get weak before there can be a fall. So they fail in the area of their devotion. And I just wrote this down. You can write it down if you like. But there's a connection between idolatry and immorality. The Bible said there in verse number 7, they were idolaters. And they sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. That rose up to play is making reference. And you can study it out for yourself. It's making reference to sexual free-for-all. A sexual free-for-all. No restraints. Living loose. And buddy, I'm telling you, this generation is in that full swing. Living loose. No restraints. No is not even in their vocabulary unless it's answering a spiritual question or going to church or something. No, I'm not doing that. But everything else is a yes. Devotions. 4. Not only division, desires, devotion, but then there's defilement. The Bible said the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Rose up to play. They rose up to play. Eat, sat down. Notice this now. Sat down, eat, and drink, and rose up to play. You better beware of leisure. You better watch out for leisure. Too much of it will promote looseness. Hey man, I believe everybody already need a vacation. But I tell you, too much of that kind of thing will promote looseness in your life. That's good preaching tonight. God help us. That's right. Listen, and so there was a connection of defilement there. They ate, they drank, and I don't think that was water either. And they rose up to play. I mean, you'd be shocked. I might as well just preach it out. You'd be shocked how many people go to church, don't think there's nothing wrong with a little social drink. Are you listening? As a lost person, I'm ashamed to say I did it as a lost person. I wished I had the testimony of some in here that I never knew the taste of it. That's what I wish. That's what I wish. But I can't go back and redo, but I can preach to you out of my mistakes. Amen. Listen, you put it to your lips and you're unwise according to Proverbs. Listen, they ate and they drank. Why? And then they rose up to play. You know what that does? You know what alcohol does? It dulls your senses. You can't make good decisions when you've got that in your system. Come on now. You can't even drive safely. Why? Because your judgments are not where they need to be. Brother Klepper, you used to be the long arm of the law. Am I telling it right? You can't make good judgment. You don't make good choices. You choose anything, everything, whatever. Amen. Why? Alcohol is in your system and it's taking over. It's in the driver's seat and it's in the judgment seat. It's in the choice-making seat. These people right here, friend, ate and drank and then they rose up to play. Sexual immorality always goes with intoxication. Always. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? Listen. Lord, help us, Jesus. You saw, preacher, it won't make no difference. It's just all in the fun of it. Is that right? Well, let me just read the next verse. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fail in one day. 23,000. 23,000 people died as a result of sin, loose living, fornication, and drinking. And nakedness. You go to Exodus 32, that's added to it. Those things always goes together. Those things always goes together. Amen. Hey, come on now. You study it out for yourself. Always goes. There's nothing ever good that goes along with the subject of nakedness. Nothing.
Nothing ever goes along with it. Every time you find it in the Bible, there's sin. There's drinking, there's idolatry, there's whatever, looseness, and all that that goes with it. Amen. That's right. We need more preaching on it. We need more preaching on it. That's right. When sin gets in the picture, people take their clothes off. When righteousness and spirituality gets in the picture, people put their clothes on. Amen. That's right. And I studied it out. You can study it out. I didn't meant to mention it tonight. But God gives us a good definition of what nakedness is in the book of Isaiah. When you lay bare your leg and uncover your thigh, God said the shame of your nakedness has appeared. You know where your thigh starts? Your knee. It's amen right there. That's the word of God. Study it out for yourself. If you don't, I'll study it out for you. But defilement. And then last, verse 9 and 10, discontentment. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, there it is, discontentment. Murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And then it says that they were our examples. I just hope that God has refreshed and renewed in our heart tonight a fear of falling. That's what I want. If that happened tonight, I consider the preaching a success. I want it to stir my heart. I don't want to fall. I believe this, and I've said it from this pulpit. I'd rather be dead than to be in a fallen condition. But Tim, I know it. Ain't no doubt about it. I'd rather for you to hear that Preacher Rackley got killed in a car wreck than to hear that Preacher Rackley fell into sin. Amen. And I know, Brother Mike, that that's potential for me as well as it's a potential for all of us of falling into sin. God help us. God help us. And listen to this. I'm going to make just one statement. I'm done. As long as you hate sin, your falling's probably not going to happen. It's when you start getting friendly with sin. When you're starting to drop your restraints toward it. And you're starting to look at it with, it's kind of fond and you're friendly with it. Now, that's when the fall comes. But if you hate it, you know what you'll do if you hate something? You'll avoid it. You'll stay away from it. Amen. That's good preaching if I didn't do it. Amen. That right there ought to keep us from falling. I want to see you finish the course. I want to finish. I want to see you finish the course with joy tonight. Let's all stand our feet.